Today's Easter Sunday sermon is called Free at Last. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. Lord God of our Easter hearts, minds, spirits, and souls, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty! We're free at last. These words are part of our lexicon as being some of the most famous in the civil rights movement, aren't they? They're remembered as the closing words of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, but they're actually from a spiritual called, fittingly enough, Free at Last. Here are those words. Way down yonder in the graveyard walk, me and my Jesus gonna meet and talk. On my knees when the light passed by, I thought my soul would rise and fly. Some of these mornings bright and fair, gonna meet King Jesus in the air. Free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. Now, the freedom described in this spiritual is freedom that originates from life after death. It speaks eloquently of being, just simply being freed from death's consequences. And that's what makes it so good to talk about today, this Easter Sunday, this day of resurrection. For only Jesus' resurrection upended death's consequences truly and fully. But that's not something just to believe in. Resurrection has to be lived for and reached for in the here and now to really make meaningful change in the kingdom of God, where we are, right here, right now, this Easter Sunday. Our scripture begins early in the morning, it says, the first day of the week. Not a Monday, but a Sunday. The tomb Jesus was laid in, it was a larger one, donated by their friend, Joseph of Arimathea. The authorities had ordered it sealed with this large rock to prevent grave robbers from coming and carrying off the body or some such like that. And so the women arrive, tasked with anointing Jesus' body with spices to help mask the odor of decomposition. This was a common practice back in Jesus' day, but they hadn't thought ahead in their grief of who might let them in by rolling away the large stone at the entrance. And they come to the tomb, not expecting the stone to be rolled away. Who'd been here? Grave robbers? Should they enter? Well, they do. But I know if I was them, I'd sure have a little bit of fright as I entered that tomb. And who do they find there? But they find an angel of the Lord, and he says, "Don't be alarmed." Really? Hold on here. Don't be alarmed. Jesus, the one who is crucified, has risen. Well, okay, that's pretty obvious, but what have you done with our Jesus? Don't be alarmed. I mean, here they are in the tomb. They had just seen Jesus crucified 48 hours ago, poked in the side, blood and water coming out of his body is the last act of dying. Everything that has happened to them this weekend has said death. And they come to the tomb expecting death. But what they get? They get a young kid sitting here in an open tomb, and just without a care in the world. An empty open tomb, and he says, he is risen. They're told to witness the place that he was laid. They saw the linens, where he was wrapped, where he was laid, where the tomb was sealed, and yet he's not there. He's risen. He's gone ahead. And all these years later, our Easter experience of astonishment and wonder should be just as much as that first Easter and what happened at the tomb. They expected death and were met with emptiness. Only then are they told and getting a word about resurrection. Only when they're at their lowest point and they expect nothing and there is nothing left to pull on, only then do they get a word about resurrection. That's what happens in our world today, isn't it? We come to many things in our world knowing exactly the outcomes and expectations. We even know the answers before the questions are even posed. Take climate change, for example. We see insects disappearing from our flower beds because crop seeds, now they've been genetically modified, and they now grow with the insecticide in their genome. And when bees come to harvest the pollen off a stalk of corn, they take it back to the hive, they can kill as many 80,000 bees can die from one stalk of genetically modified corn. Almost 10 billion Alaska snow crabs disappeared in the Bering Sea due to ocean warming. Just gone, one year to the next. We have this expectation of a world dying all around us. But then we receive a word. We receive a glimpse. We receive that term, resurrection. We can hold on to resurrection because resurrection means that what we see isn't all there is. But in order to make that real for ourselves, in our souls, in our lives, resurrection thinking in life is going to require big changes. God, you know, God seems to like to do stuff the hard way. The women saw Jesus suffer and die. Why didn't Jesus just walk out into the light of day and spare us this disappearing act and drama? No, we have to come to Easter just as they did. The resurrection isn't something that is on our minds because it flies in the face of what we know to be true. Mark's story gives us this version of an unsettling prequel. Hope doesn't come instantaneously. The women first respond with silence, maybe fear. If we take the resurrection seriously, then maybe our first response might be silence. It might even be fear. What can be more disorienting for us than to know that death can be overcome, that death itself can be overcome, that the fate of the world is not ending like we and all the scientists say it will, What does that say about our needing to move forward again rather than hunker down and prepare for death because we have gone past that threshold where global warming has happened and there's no going back? What does it take to move past trembling? What must we do to believe that the impossible is possible? To enter the mind of Greta Thunberg, to be that free. We can't keep coming to the tomb again, only to leave with some new belief, can we? Sisters, they didn't just believe Jesus died. They watched it. They lived it. They're still mourning it. They didn't go through all that just to show up and recite a prayer. They came here to the tomb because they believe there must be more. I'll leave you with these final thoughts. We need to not just think critically about this event and how it is in our lives, but we need to feel it too. Resurrection doesn't allow halfway belief either. Jesus got up and went, or he didn't. If we really believe that he got up, then that belief should transform our daily life. Who we are and what we do has to be different. We have to move past trembling, stationary, fear, and silence. Belief in the resurrection is more than simply responding to a survey on belief. Belief, like the Bible, depends and rests on conversions of hearts, not minds. We have to change our very existence and how we perceive all around us, right here, right now. We are free from the normal bounds of death's consequences. We are free to exist in this world, in the newfound consequence of resurrection and getting a new expectation. We can have confidence that breaks this chain of limitations, the bounds of economic and political power, the strata of society that keeps that just does everything it can to keep things just the way they are. Because for them it works. And yet, there is more. At its heart, resurrection helps break the chains of our own hearts and minds and souls and spirit to be at our best in this world. So we can say, truly and fully, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free at last. For this Easter Sunday, friends, take that into your day and into your families. Thanks be to God. Amen.